I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Mary Louise Groh. She is founder and director of the Student Pledge Against Gun Violence. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you for having me.
So what is the Student Pledge?
Well, broadly speaking, it's a chance to give young people a voice about something that affects them. And I think too many American young people think of gun violence as just like the weather, that it's just always going to be there. You know, every day in the newspaper, they read stories about people being shot. A lot of them know people who've been shot. And I wanted to think of a way to connect them to the issue that would empower them to know that tomorrow doesn't have to look like yesterday, that each individual decision adds up to a national problem. I when I'm talking to young people, I talk about elections, and I say, you know, the day after an election, you read about somebody winning in a landslide. What is a landslide? It's Joe Smith getting up in the morning and eating his Cheerios and deciding to go vote, and Mary Louise Groh getting up and having her omelet and going and voting. And violence is the accumulation of individual decisions, and undoing it is also going to be the accumulation of individual decisions. And I've always had sort of a mystical feeling about many, many people doing the same thing at the same time, being on the same page. I love things like Hands Across America, and for religious people, the idea of a prayer uttered by a whole congregation takes on force. And so I think young people, teenagers, children, don't tend to see themselves as powerful. And I thought if there could be something that they could feel that they were doing with other young people in their community, that it would help them envision a future without gun violence, that if they could really sign a contract, I won't ever take a gun to school, I won't ever solve a personal problem or a dispute with a gun, I'm going to try to influence my friends not to solve their issues with guns. But no, they were doing it in the company of thousands of other people, and hopefully, potentially millions of other young people at the same time. They could see themselves as really powerful agents of change. Back in 1994, I was in Washington, and I was in one of the Senate office buildings, and Bill Bradley, who was then senator from New Jersey and a former professional basketball player, Rhodes Scholar, and he was somebody I'd always admired very, very much. And I had been involved in an observance called the Silent March. It was, we took the same number of empty pairs of shoes to Washington as there were annual U.S. gun deaths, and we arranged them around the Capitol reflecting pool.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were four women who organized this, and we were silly enough to plan it to be a two-day event, so we bagged all the shoes at the end of the first day and laid them on the Capitol lawn with notes and flowers the second day. And a lot of members of Congress went down and walked among the shoes, and Bill Bradley had been one of them. And I stopped him and said, I was one of the organizers of the Silent March, but I've been trying to think of a way to connect young people to the issue of gun violence in a way that would help them realize that they can play a role in trying to change it. And I've talked to some educators about this contract, but I think it needs some public backing to kick it out into public awareness. Will you help? And so he took a copy of the pledge and he put it in his pocket. And I loved him partly because he was wearing a UNICEF necktie with children all over it. So I thought, yeah, this is a good match. And he pocketed it and he said, I think this is really important. Let's stay in touch. And of course, I went back to Minnesota, and it's no easy matter to get back in direct touch with a U.S. senator. And it took me a year to work my way up through the food chain of his office to get to a senior aide who said, yes, we've got to get this back on Senator Bradley's radar screen. And he did, and Senator Bradley introduced a Senate resolution calling for a day of national concern about young people and gun violence. and national distribution of the Student Pledge. So that was kind of the start. And then various networks publicized it through their networks, and it grew and grew and grew until there were literally millions of young people taking part in cities all over the country. I've had a couple of two or three grants that have helped a lot to spread it, but when my husband became ill, I sort of lost my psychic energy, and this has really been dormant. But I think the issue of gun violence, especially with Newtown, has really been very much on people's minds again. And out of the woodwork, people have been getting in touch and saying, you know, I think we need to revive this national initiative. One of the things that's pleased me a lot is one of the places that just has really picked up on this and is getting it going in their schools is Santa Fe. So
yeah,
that's exciting.
And that's the thing I want to ask you about. Would you be willing to read the pledge aloud? This is the actual student pledge against gun violence.
I will never bring a gun to school. I will never use a gun to settle a personal problem or dispute. I will use my influence with my friends to keep them from using guns to settle disputes. My individual choices and actions, when multiplied by those of young people throughout the country, will make a difference. Together, by honoring this pledge, we can reverse the violence and grow up in safety. This is how it was first conceived, but we did change it several years into the student pledge. We added, instead of "I will never use a gun to settle a dispute," we added "to settle a personal problem or dispute," because we wanted to acknowledge the fact that one of the big populations that are victim to gun violence are people who commit suicide. And this observance is a way to start conversations. And even if it did nothing else, some fabulous things have happened through the years around this observance. It's brought together people in the community, very diverse elements of the community, to talk about how we keep young people safe. But I think that hopefully included in those conversations will be that when young people feel that the world is so black that they can't go on, that there are people standing by to be resources. And I've heard about communities where leaders in the community have talked to kids in schools and said, on your very, very, very worst day that you can possibly imagine, there are definitely alternatives to ending it. And we will be here as resources. We can't promise that we're going to solve all your problems, but we can promise we'll be here to help you solve them.
So how many people have taken, young people, I mean, this is in the schools, have taken this pledge over the years? You've been doing this since 1996.
Yeah. You know, we didn't even start asking people to report numbers from their schools until about the third year. And we always knew that the numbers that were reported as hard numbers were kind of the tip of the iceberg. Because a lot of schools thought, well, the important thing is to do it. It's not to report that we did it. But in terms of hard numbers that were actually reported, where schools counted the number of signed pledges and then reported it on up through the system, there have been more than 10 million participants reported through the years. But we think
which means there's probably a lot more.
A whole lot more, yeah.
Now, do you do this in communities and school districts where there already is a higher level of gun violence?
That's a really interesting question. And the thing about this observance is that when people become aware of it, it's very grassroots. And whether it is undertaken in a given community, it can be both top-down and bottom-up. In Santa Fe, it's gotten a wonderful kickstart because the school board adopted a resolution in support of it. But in some cities, it's the superintendent of schools. In some cities, it may be the mayor getting in touch with the schools saying, you know, this is something I'd really like to see happen in our city. How about it? Sometimes it's a parent who goes to the school system and says, you know, I really want this to happen in my child's school. It was interesting because it was used district-wide in Washington, D.C., And they even would put on their teachers' paycheck stubs starting a couple of months before the Day of National Concern. Don't forget to start preparing for the Day of National Concern. And there was a wonderful woman who was in charge of school intervention services who got it started in Washington, D.C., and then she retired. And the woman who took her place was very skeptical about whether this would be well received by older kids, high school kids. She said, I'm afraid they're going to be really cynical about it, and I think it's good to do it with elementary age kids and maybe middle school kids, but I'm not so sure about the high school kids and if they're going to just kind of blow it off. But she inherited this program and she decided she wanted to keep it going. And the first year she was involved, she called me at the end of the day, and she had gone into the toughest inner city school in the District of Columbia to watch how they handled the observance. And she said the students themselves they put on a big assembly, and that one of the students looked out at all the kids in the auditorium and said, how many of you know someone who's been shot? And almost every hand went up. And the kid said, okay, listen up. I don't want this to happen to you. I don't want it to happen to me. I want you to sign this contract, take this pledge, and mean it, and live it. And then they had students up on the stage, and the students in the school filed up one by one and had to say the pledge or sign the pledge in the presence of another student. And what this woman administrator in the DC schools said to me at the end of this day was, what I couldn't believe was the solemnity with which these kids took part in this observance, that they really saw this as a solemn promise. And my hope has always been that this would never be just an isolated piece of paper that would appear on a given date, that for it to have the most impact, there will be discussions, and it can be discussions in social studies classes, English classes. On the website, there are a lot of curriculum suggestions, ways that English teachers can talk about it. But I think one of the things that can lead into this observance is talking to young people about what a vow is, what a promise is. And if you have friends, do you like hanging out with friends who say they're going to meet you at such and such a time and then don't show up? I mean, you value people who keep their word. And this is about keeping your word. And by doing so, maybe staying alive and helping your friends stay alive.
So once people have made this vow, made this student pledge, by the way, we're talking to Mary Louise Groh, founder and director of the Student Pledge Against Gun Violence. Once they take this vow, do you have any way of knowing whether it makes a difference the next year, the year after that, over the course of their lives?
I don't have an absolute answer to that. I have maybe, best to say, inferences. When they did this in New York City, I asked the woman who had spearheaded it. She was one of the administrators in the public schools in New York City. Okay, you've done this district-wide for 1 year. Does that mean you don't want to do it a second year? Is there any value in doing it a second year? And she said, yes, I want to keep doing it because I think things are best learned when they're repeated and internalized. And so they kept doing it. One thing I would like to think that this observance may have had some role in is that when this started, youth gun violence, youth gun deaths were soaring way at a rate very much above adult gun deaths, rising much more rapidly. And about 8 years or so after this had been used quite widely throughout the country, there was an article that came out that said that youth gun violence, which had been rising at a rate much more rapidly than that of adults, was now dropping at a rate much more rapidly than that of adults. And they tried to pinpoint why. And of course, I mean, crime statistics have been going down in this country in spite of the fact that we read about horrible things that happen every day and these awful dramatic incidents that still occur in movie theaters and schools and so on. But the article that talked about the fall in youth gun violence said part of it may be due to better community policing, but part of it is we attribute to greater awareness. And I chose to believe that part of that greater awareness was this program, which had reached literally millions of kids, and that has had an impact. And then on the individual level, I'll tell you a couple of stories that have really been wonderful to me. The woman who had been in charge of student intervention services in New York City, and by the way, her name is Enid Margolis, and she lives in Santa Fe. She retired to Santa Fe. But she became principal. She was lured to be principal of a very, very troubled school on Staten Island. Lots of gang activity, kids roaming the halls, even during class hours, teachers not able to get control. And she's a terrific woman, and they said, we really need you. So she took that job. And she took the student pledge to her school on Staten Island. And for weeks ahead of the day of concern, the students wrote gun statistics, and they put them on massive cutout tiers, paper tiers, and they posted them on the wall. And every day during the break between classes, she'd invite different students to come into her office and read over the PA system some statistics. Kids were encouraged to write stories about family members or people they knew who'd been shot. So that this awareness had sort of permeated the hallways of the school for weeks. And on the day of concern, they invited, I think one of the speakers was Carolyn McCarthy, the congresswoman from New York, whose husband was killed in the Long Island Railroad shooting, and her son was permanently injured. And they also had at least two former gang members who were in wheelchairs because of gunshot wounds they had gotten that had paralyzed them. And the gang members, and I've seen this in Chicago schools where former gang members come in and talk about how they've wound up in wheelchairs. Because, you know, we talk about gun mortality, but we often forget about all the people whose lives are forever changed because they've been injured.
Right.
Anyway, at the end of this day, after the assembly, the school assembly, my friend Enid noticed that some of the toughest kids in the school that nobody had been able to get through to were sort of milling as if they wanted something more. And they either came to her or another teacher and asked privately if it would be possible for them to find an empty classroom where they could meet these former gang members one-on-one. And what they wanted to talk to them about was, how do you get out of a gang safely?
Right.
And that's a big issue. And so they met with these former gang members and asked them. And then they asked my friend Enid, who was the principal, to meet them in the parking lot after school, where they could talk privately. And that was, the day had so made such an impression on them that they wanted to turn their lives around, and they wanted to change course, and they wanted help in knowing how to do it.
Now, was there information given on how to leave a gang safely?
Well, I'm assuming that my friend and these former gang members did have information for them, and I'm glad you asked that question, because that might be something to incorporate into our materials. I mean, I know that there are hotlines that kids can call if they see something going down and they want to report it anonymously, but I think that's a whole area that it would be good for us to be able to provide information about.
I think sometimes the kids, like the ones who were milling around and wanted information, those quote-unquote tough guys are really smart, resilient, probably have leadership qualities, mm-hmm. and all of these things which turned in a good direction would make them community leaders rather than gangsters.
Yeah.
That's just my guess, but...
No, I think that's true. And, you know, I heard a remarkable speech about a month and a half ago given by the mayor of New Orleans, Mitch Landrieu. And public radio in Minnesota rebroadcast the talk that he'd given in to the Aspen Ideas Festival about gun violence. And I don't know what I was expecting. I don't think I expected to have my socks knocked off. But he really did knock my socks off. And he said that New Orleans has a very, very disproportionately high per capita rate of gun deaths and gun violence, and that he wanted his city to look at this issue holistically. And he said, we've identified that 80% of the gun crimes are committed by members of 9 gangs. And he said, and what happens to these young men is that they commit crimes, they go get into the prison system, they come out, they can't get jobs. And he said, I have been meeting as often as I can one-on-one with these young people when they get out of jail and saying, you may not believe this, but this city cares about you. In fact, I can even say we love you. And we are going to stick somebody to your side like Velcro who's going to help you get a job. We're going to eliminate the requirement that you have to check a box that you've been a felon. And we're going to try to see that you get a job. And what was wonderful was he said, we tell them that we know that part of the problems they face are systemic, and we're going to try to help them deal with those, like jobs. But it also comes down to decisions that they make, individual decisions. And I started bouncing up and down and thinking, they want to use the student pledge. They need that in New Orleans. And literally the next day, an email was forwarded to me from the U.S. Attorney's Office in New Orleans, which is working with Mitch Landrieu on a very holistic approach to solving gun violence, saying, we want to incorporate the student pledge against gun violence in our New Orleans efforts to address this. And so it pleased me that the very next day after, I thought, wow, this would really fit with what they're doing. But there were people in the city who thought so, too.
Yeah, yeah. Now, let's talk about what happened in Santa Fe. I mean, you're here, you've got family here, you're visiting, and the student pledge has been taken up by the Santa Fe School Board?
Yes, and I have to just give a ton of credit to New Mexicans against New Mexicans for Gun Safety, because they really are looking at every aspect of the issue of gun violence, and they approached the Santa Fe School Board. Is it Steve Carrillo? And he was very receptive, and Miranda Viscoli talked to a lot of other people, and there was tremendous receptivity and even enthusiasm. And so they, I think it was just last week, unanimously voted to incorporate the student pledge and the Day of National Concern into the Santa Fe schools. And that pleases me immensely, because I there have been other parts of the country where people are saying, you know, we have to revive this program. It's timely, and the problem of gun violence is on our minds, and this is something concrete that we can do about it.
So is there a day that it happens every year, the Day of Concern?
We started, when it first started, picked an October date for a couple of reasons. One, teachers say that they like having expectations for the year sort of laid out at the beginning of the year, and so this is something that they think makes for a healthy start to the school year. And then also, I think a lot of cities, and I don't think Santa Fe is one of them, but do observe National Safe Schools Week, and that's usually the third week in October. And so the school systems that do observe National Safe Schools Week really like having the student pledge on the same, coincide with the same week. So it's usually been the third Wednesday in October.
Is this student pledge going on in every state of the country?
Well, again, it's there's no way to ensure that that will happen. Ideally, if my dream and my vision were fulfilled, it would happen. It would be on every single desk of every single school child or teenager, public schools, private schools, because I think that would just simply add to the power that young people can envision that they have. I would say that when it started slowly. There were a few cities, and then the word spread, and it got publicized in more and more networks, because it's really been dormant for the last 6 or 7 years. I'm sure it will not be anywhere close to being in every state in the country this year. But my hope is that in the places that are doing it, it will light a spark that will spread so that it will become at least as widespread as it was before, and more so.
Mary Louise Grow is founder and director of the Student Pledge Against Gun Violence. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
It was my pleasure.
Now, is there a website if anybody wants more information?
Yes, thank you for asking. It's pledge.org.
Pledge.org, that's easy.
Mm-hmm. And the materials are there, they're downloadable, they're free, and I just hope everyone within the sound of your wonderful broadcast will take advantage of using them.
Excellent.